Welcome back to Racecast, and finally, an episode that I think we are both excited for. I think this race that we have just watched, I say just watched, it is Tuesday, but obviously the race is on Sunday. You're now listening on Wednesday. Thanks for being here. Yeah, I think it's got everyone excited again. It might just be a blip. We're going to discuss all of that, but thank you for listening to us. We really do appreciate it. Make sure you do give us 5 stars. It does massively help us out. And yeah, we love seeing your support. Do follow us on all social media. That will be Instagram, TikTok, Twitter. Just search Racecast. And it will show up unless you spelt it wrong. But it's as simple as that. Like, there's no link for you to click. You're listening to us. Just, you know, use some initiative here. Anyway, we are going to crack on. You're going to hear a little car noise. And then we're going to go.
Right, all right, guys. Welcome along to a brand new episode. Yeah, I'll be honest. That weekend revived my enthusiasm in F1 this weekend.
I think a lot of people, and I'll tell you, it's interesting, actually, this little point. I saw a well-known Formula One podcast tweet, basically, our listening figures have gone back to, like, after this weekend, they reached, like, the peak that they were, like, the normal peak from, yeah, like, previous seasons. So clearly people's interest was, like, sparked. It was reignited, and yeah, I think it's a good thing.
I think it's interesting, isn't it? Because obviously we initially started an F1 podcast. Well, I say we. I did, didn't I? When the 21 season was in play.
Did you start it during the 21 season?
During the 21 season.
Did you do it on your own?
No, you were on a couple of episodes.
Was I?
Yeah. And then obviously come to the 22 season, we then obviously started this podcast. Yeah, you're on it. It was called The Racing Line initially. You don't remember
at
all?
Oh, I actually do. Yeah.
So
I remember.
Because I think you were the only one who was on it in the first place anyway. So it was you and I who, we did a couple of episodes and we didn't do it consistently. Which, looking back at, I kind of regret, because we could have had a hell of a lot to talk about towards the end of the season. But we obviously started this podcast, the 22 season.
At the worst possible time.
Yeah. Well, to be honest, we thought it was going to be the perfect opportunity because we were going to have so much to look forward to last year.
Because we'd been promised all these things by Ross Brawn and the FIA that equal racing is coming, like, this is the one, the cost cap is going to be fully in play. That was a fucking lie.
It was. And then, yeah, I'll be honest, since then, it's been a tough ride for...
It's been downhill from there,
really.
It's
been very much downhill. So it's, you know, it was really nice this weekend to have a really positive race, a really exciting race. But we'll touch on that in a second, because I want to quickly get into some news. And also, people like to know, Luke lost another football game today, but that's just, you know.
In fairness, many injuries across the squad.
Here he comes.
So
it's kind of, it feels like kind of a post-match interview every week of your... So, you know what?
The thing is now I'm playing 11 aside. So obviously I have to play that on Saturday. I've then got training on Monday. And then my original, like, six-a-side team is on Tuesday. By which time, I'm like, well, my legs don't work. So two of the other boys also play for the same team.
Yeah.
So we're normally just a bit fucked. Then one of the other boys also plays on... So actually, they both might do. One definitely plays Saturday as well. So it's just a bit like... 27 now. One of the boys is 29. You know, doesn't get easier. Put it that way.
Well, you lost 2-0 anyway, didn't you? So, right, let's talk about a bit of F1 news, because AlphaTauri, as we know, they've been a bit of a... not a mockery of a team, but they've had a very tough season. They started off with Nyck de Vries.
They have been kind of like the new Haas.
They have, yeah. They started off with Nyck de Vries, Tsunoda. Soon, just before the summer break, that changed. Danny Ric came in alongside Tsunoda. After the summer break, Danny Ric broke his hand. He's out. Lawson comes in alongside Tsunoda. And I have to say, he's done a phenomenal job. I mean,
Loki's outperformed Tsunoda.
Yes. Granted, Tsunoda, the last two races, he hasn't even done lap two.
Yep, true.
So not all his fault. He's had, you know, reliability issues and Sergio Perez crashing into you. What are you going to do, eh?
Perez was on one this weekend.
He was. So at this moment in time, apparently Yuki Tsunoda is reportedly set to be confirmed to continue at AlphaTauri in 2024 this week at Suzuka. The Ricciardo announcement will follow. So what it looks like is for 2024, they're planning to stick with Danny Ric and Tsunoda. Personally, I think that's the wrong move. I really do. I think Tsunoda, I would say, has had a very tough season. And whenever you have a lot of changes and a lot of different personnel, it's a very tough team to be in, especially with Helmut Marko and all of this stuff. But what I don't understand is why they're still sticking with Danny Ric, because Lawson has come in and outperformed massively.
Well, and I actually saw a tweet on this. Someone was like, what the fuck are AlphaTauri doing? Like, they are Red Bull's feeder team, yeah, right? That's an absolute fact. No one can argue that. What is he, 34, Danny Ric? Yeah. He'll be 35 next year. What is he doing at that team? Like, okay, I understand it's like a lifeline for him. But from AlphaTauri's perspective, surely they're looking at Liam and Red Bull, the whole Red Bull family, right? Surely they're looking at Liam Lawson and they're thinking like, he is very promising. You know, what I will say is that he's shown more promise than Tsunoda, I think, in these first few races than like Tsunoda's time.
I don't think that's
unfair to say. I really like Tsunoda and I do think he deserves a seat. Just not at Red Bull, yep, in my opinion. I think he would deserve one at Red Bull over Danny Ric. But I think, why are they not looking at that and being like, right, let's actually just get Lawson in. If Red Bull, because let's be honest, Danny Ric has, I think, in his head that if he stays at AlphaTauri, he's going to then be able to work his way to Red Bull. Which, yeah, I don't think is ever going to happen. That's my opinion. But if Red Bull were seriously selling him this dream, why wouldn't you just get rid of Checo next season and put Danny Ric in that seat? Because Checo, in my opinion, hasn't done anything this season to show that he's worthy of that Red Bull seat.
Yep.
Other than the fact he's a useful number two because he gets out of the way of Max when he's told to do so. I really don't understand that. And no, again, I love to see Danny Ric in the sport.
Well, it's interesting.
It just doesn't make sense at AlphaTauri for me.
There's a really good article which got released today, actually. And actually, it says Red Bull must ensure Liam Lawson is a full-time F1 driver in 2024. And if there's no space at the AlphaTauri, it has to find him a seat elsewhere on the grid. And I completely agree with this because, you know, it says Lawson's heroics give Red Bull quite the quandary for next year, with Ricciardo making a strong impression of his own prior to the crash. I don't think this is difficult. I really don't think this is difficult in the sense of, if you're looking at future potential quality drivers, you've got Lawson, who, as I said, has already proved himself in these few races he's done. He scored points this week in Singapore. He's finished every race he started. He got into Q3. He knocked out Max Verstappen. Do you know what I mean?
This was poetry.
It was. So you've got Lawson. As far as I'm concerned, he's already in a seat. He should be in a seat already. He's done more in those three races than what Nyck de Vries done. And obviously, I know Danny Ric has only been in two or three races, but he's done more than what those people have done.
Yeah. I do think, to be fair, it's unfair to compare Danny Ric to him there, because Danny Ric has had no time.
No. I
agree with your point that Lawson's come in and sort of everyone's been really impressed with him.
Yeah.
Which I think is kind of a rare sign with rookies in the sort of recent future.
If you're comparing him to someone like Sargent, he's levels above.
You know what? I actually read today that he's set to keep his seat for 2024.
But I don't understand how, because, okay, say AlphaTauri are going to stick with Tsunoda and Ricciardo, all right? Mm-hmm. If you're Williams, surely you're thinking, okay, look.
Well, because you've done the Red Bull deal before. You've got Albon.
You've got Albon there. Why are you keeping Sargeant? Whether this is just a sponsorship side deal, whether, I don't know.
Yeah, well, he's bringing in a lot of money.
I don't know. I'm assuming he brings in quite a bit of money from sponsorships for, you know, he's an American driver. You know, there's a lot of, you know, we've got a lot of American races this year. That might be, I don't know if that's a thing. But what I don't understand is, if you're Williams, you know that there's a driver who potentially might not be in a seat for 24. Him alongside Albon, they could make such a leap in that Williams team.
Yeah, no, I agree.
And I know, sorry to cut you off, but I know people would say, you know, when we discussed this last year about Nyck de Vries, he did really well in that Williams for that one race in Monza.
That was one race.
One race. And my argument would be actually Lawson over consistent races. And actually, these aren't easy races he's been in. He's been in Monza, he's been in Singapore.
Yeah, Singapore, which is obviously a really difficult race.
You know, these
aren't... Zandvoort in horrible conditions as well.
These aren't easy races. And he's come out and he's finished it. How many times do you go, from a rookie point of view, you go, okay, yeah, he's outperformed. You've also got to look at what Lawson has done compared to other drivers on that grid. And I know you can say, you know, in AlphaTauri, which is the worst car on the grid, undoubtedly.
Yeah.
He's outperformed people like Scholl, who...
So they did bring their Red Bull style upgrades this weekend.
They did, but if you're looking back at...
Yeah, Stanford, over the course of the
season. He's outperformed people like Scholl, Bottas, you know, that Alfa Romeo, some of the Hasses over time as well. He, you know...
Well, because...
He deserves a seat in 24.
Yeah, I will be... Well, the thing is, I was going to say I'll be surprised if he doesn't get one, but actually, I don't think I will, because the Alfa Romeo boys have... Both been locked up.
Yep.
Now,
locked up.
They must want out of that team. I don't know what's happening at that team, but obviously it's Sauber next year. But yeah, the only available seats are
Sargeant seat
and the AlphaTauris.
And the AlphaTauris, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, Haas is obviously locked in Hulk and Magnussen. There's no other seats.
Yeah, so if the Danny Rick rumours are true, then yeah, he's got no chance of having a seat for next season.
Which for me is...
Will Red Bull get him in as reserve driver?
This is another thing with this whole reserve driver. Danny Rick made sense because he was shit. Okay, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. He was crap in that McLaren.
Yeah,
okay?
He was.
He I'll be honest with you, he didn't deserve another seat in F1 because he was very poor. And if you had to pick, okay, answer me this. Right now, you got Sebastian Vettel comes back and you got Danny Rick. Who would you pick?
Oh, you're going Seb all day.
All day. So that's the difference. For me, Ricciardo makes sense in that reserve driver position.
Yeah.
Lawson, okay, has proved himself already in these three races. And he's proved, as I said, he's proved himself in difficult conditions. He's had to come in. He's had to learn that car quick. You know, that you've got to remember, he came into Sanford, or in FP2 or FP3.
Yeah, yeah.
He then had to do qualifying, and he did a race.
He was thrown straight into that because obviously Danny Rick's injury happened on the day.
So this driver has shown, for me, it's just a waste. If he's not on the grid for 24 season, it's just a waste because he's already shown what he can do.
And it sounds like he won't be.
I think it's just really sad. I think when you're looking at, I know I've said I think a lot, but if you're looking at the development and the progression of F1, and I know some people go, well, okay, well, if you say that, you should be getting rid of people like Lewis Hamilton, who's older, or Fernando Alonso. That's not what I'm saying.
They're still performing.
They're performing. What I'm saying is actually you've got drivers there. You could even say, okay, Bottas hasn't performed.
Oh, he hasn't.
Scholl hasn't performed.
I am kind of surprised that their seats weren't more at risk.
I can understand Bottas. Bottas.
Because Bottas is going to be costing quite a bit.
Yeah. But you've got drivers there who aren't performing. I'm quite shocked about Joel, in all honesty. I know, like last year, a lot of people said to me, oh, well, no, he had a tough season. He hasn't done anything this year.
Yeah, no, I mean, I don't think he's necessarily improved. I think Bottas has... What's the opposite to improved? Got a bit worse.
Got a bit worse. Yeah.
Which I think has made Joel look
better.
Yeah. But which I don't actually think he has been any better. Maybe he has a bit, but not like to the point where I think, oh yeah, you've really like cemented that seat as yours. But then maybe they do just want a bit of stability in the team. They know the direction that it's going in, and maybe it's good having those two consistently there. Who they're not dropping stinkers every single week, do you know what I mean? And clearly there's something wrong with the car as well, because that car is
the car is bad.
I don't think we're going to see Liam Lawson in a seat next season. I do think that is a disappointment.
Yeah,
I think what's more of a disappointment is that Logan Sargeant is going to have a seat. And this is not like, you know, I know he's a rookie, but Alex Albon has shown what you can do in that Williams. So, surprised that he's keeping his seat. I know it's a money game, it's how it works, but yeah, it's disappointing.
Well, it's a prime example this weekend, wasn't it? You know, we put it in our group chat about Sargeant when he went into, he just literally just didn't turn and just drove into a wall. You're like, what is going on? And actually, for it's interesting, isn't it? Because F1 is about the 20 driver, the best drivers on the grid. Okay. You've had that change within AlphaTauri this year, but you've now got, from a F1 fan point of view, you want to see the best out there. So when you look at people like Alex Albon, who has outperformed that Williams this year, or I say outperformed, he has outperformed it considering it was so bad last year.
Yeah, it's hard to judge because obviously Sargeant is doing so badly. Yeah. But yeah, you could, Alex Albon's had a great season.
So when you look at it, as an F1 fan, it makes no sense to keep a driver who's so poor on the grid when you've already know that you've got a rookie who is, you know, already got points in that AlphaTauri. He's consistent. He's performing well. But you're still, as a collective...
I think it could be a PR thing as well.
Yeah,
Rick brings in the fans, sells the shirts.
But so does Lawson. Look at the support Lawson is getting.
Yeah, but compared to Danny Rick.
Yeah, I mean...
I'm completely with you. I mean,
I just think sometimes for the sport at the moment, before Singapore, was getting dull. Because
very
of
dull.
Very dull.
Really
and
dull.
And actually... As a sport, I get it. You know, it's about merchandise and actually the who you have in the seats and, you know, the driver. That's what you want to. That's what people are attached to. I can't really remember what I'm thinking of.
I don't even know what you're saying.
No,
now.
Nor do I. But I just feel like actually we're kind of losing good drivers, and we're missing the opportunity to bring good drivers in.
Yeah, but I don't think that's something that's new to the sport.
No,
honestly, I feel like, you know, money is always talked massively. But yeah, I think it's a shame when someone's like proven themselves and you could actually be like, yeah, you know, this actually makes sense long term. Because it does. It doesn't make sense to have an old driver at AlphaTauri. It really doesn't.
Yeah.
It makes sense to have two prospects that you're going to then feed to Red Bull. Why wouldn't you put Liam Lawson in the hot seat?
I mean, when you look at it, it is interesting, isn't it? Tsunoda has only got 3 points this year.
Yeah. But again, the AlphaTauri has been dreadful. Poor.
Joel's got 4. Bottas has got 6. But then you look at K-Mac, he's only got 3 points this year.
K-Mac's had a horrible season. I was shocked that he got the extension as well.
Yeah. And then obviously Sargeant with 0. I don't know. I just think, let us get in touch with us. Let us know on our social medias. I just think it's a real shame that Lawson will potentially be without a seat next year when actually he is probably the one of the most exciting up-and-coming drivers we've had in quite a while. alongside someone like Piastri or, you know.
Yeah.
Because I'd much rather watch Lawson than Sergeant Binnett. It's like a...
Yeah, but, and to be fair, I mean, I would rather have Danny Rick than Sergeant.
Oh, yeah. It's like having Latifi in disguise, isn't it? You know, if you're Williams, you're kind of like, well, we're not really learning, are we? Because we got rid of Latifi, but actually we've now brought in Sergeant, who's on par.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, he's scored a similar amount of points.
Yeah, I don't know. Right, anyway, should we move on? Obviously, other news, McLaren have announced that Pato O'Ward will jump in the car for FP1 at Abu Dhabi Grand Prix later this year after impressing in the IndyCar series. So,
nice.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I want to talk about Singapore, actually, because I have to say, thoroughly loved it. Thoroughly enjoyed it.
And I mean, let's be real here. The primary reason for loving that was because Red Bull were shit. That allowed for then the following sequence of events to take place.
And we had proper racing for once. Okay, so
just quickly, because the overarching point of all of Singapore is, where did Red Bull's pace go?
I don't know, because
I spoke about that technical directive last week.
Yep.
Now, it said that it was to do with flexi wings, flexi floors, I believe. Red Bull actually brought a floor change. I don't know if you knew this. They brought a change of floor, a new floor, and they used it in FP1, and they actually reverted back to the old floor in FP2.
I did know that.
That must be the first time in this new era that Red Bull have brought an upgrade, and actually they've gone, well, that hasn't done what we expected.
Well, it was interesting, wasn't it? Because we discussed last week, I thought Red Bull was just going to be dominant, because I think we kind of got to this whole thing that actually we just expected Red Bull to be dominant in every track they go to.
Absolutely.
I don't think we were expecting Ferrari to be as strong. But they came out of the gates really strong. They were... Yeah,
that surprised me. I said last week I wasn't expecting Ferrari to be up there, and they were. I was expecting Aston Martin to be up there, yeah,
they
be
were.
Fair.
They were very poor. But let's touch on practice, because I think FP1, after FP1 and seeing how bad Red Bull were, we were kind of like, they're sandbagging. It's like, it's the one...
I'm not buying this it's track specific thing, and shut up, I know I will probably eat my words come, what is it, like 3:30 a.m. Friday morning, when they're like 10 seconds a lap quicker than everyone in FP1 at Suzuka. But I'm really not buying it, and I'll tell you why. Give me one other race this season where they've not performed, because it doesn't matter what the track is. It could be Rainbow fucking Road from Mario Kart. I'm telling you, they'd be the quickest car.
Good track, though.
Great track. Red Bull would dominate it.
Yeah.
I don't understand. It can't be a coincidence that this technical directive comes in and that they're out there spewing all this stuff like, doesn't even affect us. Like, we don't have to change anything. Mm. It's like, right. But when it does come in, all of a sudden, you're not able to compete. Well, it does seem bizarre. Closest track to Singapore. No, what would you say?
It's a street track, isn't it? Somewhere like Baku?
Yeah, Baku. I mean, even like Monaco where, you know, those really tight, doesn't matter.
Yeah.
The Red Bull's brilliant. It's quick. It doesn't matter whether it's in a slow corner, a fast corner, a 50 centimeter wide track or a 500 meter wide track, that car is unbelievably quick.
Okay.
I don't understand it. It's got to be to do with the technical directive, and anything that comes out of their mouths at the moment, I don't believe anyway. Apparently Helmut Marko isn't like employed by the team. Okay, well, he's a director of Red Bull Racing, so
that's an interesting point. What were your thoughts on Lewis Hamilton? Because obviously he came out and he was quite vocal about, you know.
So wait, what are we talking about here?
So let's revert to, obviously, we discussed last week Helmut Marko's comments about Perez. Oh, yeah.
Well, should we finish on the car?
Oh, let's finish on the car, yeah, finish on the car.
I don't know what your thoughts are on it.
My thoughts are, it is, they just had an off weekend. And my expectation is that there'll be, we will know come Friday, Saturday, how strong this Red Bull is. My feeling is they're going to be back to normal because they looked so relaxed. Because Christian Horner on the grid, you know, before the race was like, it's exactly the same car. We just don't get it. It's obviously, you know, variety of different things. I'm expecting them to be back up and running this weekend.
I'm not buying it because they haven't got it wrong this season. The car has not been wrong anywhere. What is so unique about Singapore that the car all of a sudden... Oh, what? So Bahrain isn't hot. Saudi Arabia is not hot.
Yeah, but okay. So that's very early in
Monaco,
the season.
Monaco, that's a cold Yeah, but that's place,
very. But you've also got to remember, that's very early in the season. Other cars weren't... Look at McLaren back in Bahrain. They were well off. So actually, that Red Bull, even if they were struggling, were still stronger than half the cars there.
Where did we race before Singapore? I know Singapore is the
Monza.
It's hot in Italy. It's summer. Like, this is the thing. I cannot understand why all of a sudden they'd not be able to perform, because that car has been, it's not just been slightly quicker than everyone else everywhere. It's been unbelievably quicker than everyone else.
So are you expecting in Suzuka this weekend that they're still going to struggle?
No, that's not what I'm expecting, but I hope that's what happens.
Me too.
But for the life of me, I just think it's very possible that they could struggle, because I think it could be something to do with this technical directive. And that's not a hope thing. It's just that it genuinely doesn't make sense that this comes in and all of a sudden the car just decides to not perform. You know, Max was complaining all weekend, which, by the way, I found hilarious. As soon as the chips were down, oh my God, he turns into that, like, Charles that we remember from 2021. Yeah, so I think that kind of set me up nicely for another championship battle. But I don't know what I'm expecting this weekend, but I think it is entirely possible
What does your heart tell you this weekend, and what does your gut tell you? What do you think? Do you think they're actually, you know, it's a downfall of Red Bull now? Or do you think...
I don't think it's the downfall, but I think they're going to have to... I do think there's more to it than, oh, it was just track specific.
Is the dominance over?
I think they're going to have to revisit something in that car now.
Yeah,
I do believe something. If anyone can explain to me how they can have such a mate, because this car is like no other that we've seen, right? Yeah. I know we've had times in Mercedes dominance where they've gone to tracks and it just doesn't work for that car. You know, we've had that actually at Singapore. Red Bull have shown this season, it doesn't matter where you put that car, it performs. So
we've never seen such a dominant car like this.
No, like not in our lifetime So I do think it's entirely possible. Look, if I had to put, I wouldn't put money on it, because at this point you'd be an absolute idiot to put money against Red Bull.
Yeah.
So if you're going to ask me for top three this weekend at some point, I'm still going to say Max number one. But I do think that something must be happening. I just can't comprehend how it's track specific, because the car's performed every single track this season. It's won every single race this season, other than Singapore, when a technical directive comes in, which was rumoured to try and slow that Red Bull down.
Yeah. Let us know. Let us know what your thoughts are.
That might be a conspiracy theory.
It may be, but we'll see this weekend.
Yeah.
Let's rewind.
Yeah.
Helmut Marko's comments last week about Sergio Perez.
We did discuss them last week, didn't we?
We did, but we haven't discussed, obviously, the comments this week from this weekend.
Yeah. He made more comments about Lewis, did you see?
No.
Obviously, Lewis made the comments about, like, I'm not really surprised. Lewis, in a lot more diplomatically, was essentially saying he's a cock. That was the impression I got from his interview. sort of just the smirk, the shrug of the shoulders.
He wasn't surprised, was he, at all, that these comments are coming out?
No. And I don't think any of us were. I wasn't like, oh my God, he said what? I was like, yeah, like, you could see something like that coming. Yeah. And then he said something about, like, Lewis, he was like, oh, I'd love to see Massa get his title that he deserves or something. And, like, Lewis lives rent-free in the whole of the Red Bull family's head.
Oh, 100%.
And
yeah.
You absolutely cannot deny that. That's got nothing to do with what they've achieved in the last 2 years. I can guarantee if Lewis won this race, if Lewis won Singapore, Christian Horner's face would look like it had just had shit thrown at it. He would not sleep for a week.
Yeah.
He would be so angry. Max Verstappen would lose his head. And there is something that, like, they hate Lewis, and I kind of understand it, you know, because it's kind of like, for 8 years, okay, I know Max won that championship, but the constructors, for 8 years, Lewis was the reason they couldn't win in this sport. But I do feel like with Helmut, it does get very personal sometimes, and I can't deal when people put rivalries above, like, common sense and just being like decent humans. I'm all for the rivalry, like I say, 2021 best season ever. I loved Toto and Christian going at each other. I loved Lewis and Max going at each other. That was brilliant. But just being an out and out prick, that just isn't really for me.
But what I don't understand by it is Red Bull never did a statement about it, because as far as they're concerned, their argument was, actually, he's not necessarily part of Red Bull, so that's why we didn't do a statement.
Well, so Christian said that he's hired by the Red Bull group, i.e. the parent company. He's a director of Red Bull Racing, right? I know that doesn't necessarily mean he's an employee. I understand how that works. I have my own company. But if I said something on, you know, while I was in the form of my company, I'm pretty sure my other director would expect me to apologize. Yeah. Or the company would apologize for my actions. Because you are working on behalf of the company. The comments that he said were while he was representing Red Bull Racing, because it was comments about the Red Bull team. He had his Red Bull Racing cap on, presumably. That's, like, hypothetical. Well, it's a metaphorical cap, should I say. It was a really poor show for a company that I think are absolutely top quality. And we've obviously gone to the Red Bull factory before, and I stand by the fact that I think Red Bull as an organisation are unbelievable. As a team, I hate them. That's fine. In the same way that I hate Man City. Do you know what I mean? But as, like, a club and how they're run, amazing.
They're one of the best out there.
And I really, really respect Red Bull, but I really, really don't respect how they handled this situation.
No, I was disappointed with it. And look, people will just go, well, what does it matter what you think? But I just think there was this perfect opportunity to really make a stance here, and especially with what the FIA, what a lot of drivers are trying to do and change the, you know, personalities and these comments. And
throughout the whole thing, when Lewis was trying to get drivers to support the Black Lives Matter movements, and Horner made, like, snarky comments then, and Lewis made comments about Red Bull specifically, like, regarding that. So yeah, it kind of feels like, I don't know, there's something that I don't like. And
yeah, I don't know, and that's not
to make accusations, because, you know, I believe me, like, I'm not accusing anyone in that team of being racist, but
no,
they handle some situations poorly, and I think a lot of that comes down to rivalry.
Yeah,
where I think then it makes them kind of look a bit shitty.
Yeah, let us know what your thoughts were on how they handled it. I mean, I think, you know, for people like Max and Sergio, they were very you know, media specific answers, or, you know, especially from Sergio's point of view. But I think when you look at Max's, I felt like it was a bit of a stupid question that he was asked, like, oh, do you feel like you can teach Helmut Marko in? And they were like, what are you talking about? Teach? Why does Max need to teach? No, you don't. It doesn't need to. Is this a stupid question?
Yeah, no, that is ridiculous. And look, I mean, it's kind of got nothing to do with Max.
No.
But
as a Red Bull organisation, I expected more from them.
Yeah, for sure.
I expected them to go, okay, you know.
Even, what was it because Red Bull put out a thing? Did Red Bull, the company, even put anything out?
No, this is what I mean. They didn't put anything out.
No, I know Red Bull Racing didn't. But did Red Bull, the company?
No, I don't think they did.
Because if he's employed by them,
yeah,
then surely he should. As far also, as how does that... Right, I just want to... I'm going to throw this back to the cost cap quickly.
Yeah.
How the fuck does that work? Right? So Helmut Marko is not included in the cost cap because he's employed by Red Bull. But all his work is towards Red Bull Racing. So what, Mercedes could just hire James Allison? I'm talking Mercedes Benz.
Yep.
And then, or they could hire, you know, whoever. They could hire the whole team and then just like be like, oh yeah, they're just acting as consultants. And you just avoid the cost cap.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I don't, there's so many different ways, because apparently it's not part of your cost cap though, if you have other people from different companies.
Yeah, that's my point.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense to me.
Set up a shell company and hire everyone from there. And just be like, no, they're all just consultants. They're doing charity work.
Can I rewind quite a bit? But firstly, let us know what your thoughts are on that whole situation. Personally, I felt they handled it very poorly. Earlier on, we were discussing seats left.
Yeah.
Just while we're talking, obviously we scroll through Twitter, any latest news. Apparently, Filip Drugovich has been reportedly been negotiating for weeks with Williams.
Ooh.
First time I heard this. Logan Sargeant.
He is currently Aston Martin's reserve driver. He is.
Apparently, Drugovich declined an IndyCar seat earlier this year. Logan Sargeant's performance so far in 2023 mean the door to an F1 seat could be slowly opening for the Brazilian F2 driver. Well, F2 champion driver. That's quite interesting. So that's just another mix. I'm hearing different reports. So obviously you saw what I saw earlier about Sargeant keeping his seat for 24.
And that's the thing. There's a lot going around.
There's a lot going around.
It all with a pinch of salt. I think Drugovich deserves a seat as well.
Yeah.
He's in a bit of a difficult situation at Aston Martin because good luck getting a seat from Alonso until he decides to go, because that man still has pace.
Yep.
He's still very capable of winning a world championship, in my opinion. And good luck getting the seat from Stroll, because as long as he wants it, daddy will keep it for him.
Exactly. Also, in the same line, going back to Liam Lawson, so we kind of what we touched on earlier, but Liam Lawson is reportedly not in contention to have a full-time seat in 24. Red Bull will reportedly keep Lawson as an option for the 25 season. And it asks the question after, should Liam Lawson leave the Red Bull Junior team? Also very interesting. Obviously, we discussed that earlier and what we thought. But yeah, it's going to be interesting. I would be very disappointed if, as we said earlier, if Lawson wasn't in the seat. But let's get back to Singapore. FP1, FP2. And FP3, pretty much Ferrari went Ferrari's way.
Yeah, and FP1 and FP3, always a bit pointless at Singapore because
they're done in the daylight hours. Yeah,
so they're not very representative. So I think FP2, we kind of knew how it was going to go, but I was still thinking, nah, Red Bull will pull it out of the bag. Max will get P1 somehow.
It never crossed my mind that Red Bull wouldn't.
Yeah, no.
It wasn't until, you know, I think FP3. So when you got to FP3, it was when, you know, obviously you had Sainz, Russell, Norris. Verstappen was still fourth. So I was thinking to myself, he's still in contention. He was 3/10 down, but I was thinking to myself, he still should be all right for qualifying. It wasn't until qualifying then I thought to myself, okay, Red Bull are in trouble here.
So I'm upset because I actually missed quali. I obviously watched the highlights back.
Yeah.
But I was playing football But the first thing I did when the game ended, you get the F1 qualifying results up. And I was delighted. Talk us through it.
Well, let's break it down. So Q1 was when actually basically we saw that horrible crash from Stroll.
That was a real nasty crash.
It was. And talking about, obviously, you were doing football. I was watching qualifying whilst I was on top of a roof. Doing the roof, yeah. It's quite a cool place to actually do it. So the five cars that went out in Q1 were Stroll, Joel, Sargeant, Piastri and Bottas. Obviously, Piastri got caught up with the red flag.
Yeah.
It was onto the straight. Stroll clipped the curb. It was a nasty crash, a very nasty crash. If you haven't watched it, I would recommend going to watch the onboard replay, because I don't know how Stroll still has his head on his body, because his head was going.
It was intense. And I mean, that's a quick corner, especially as you move into qualifying, like after all the free practice sessions, like you really start to ramp up the speed into that corner. You're on low fuel.
But it shows, doesn't it, the quality in these drivers, because I've watched so many different angles of this crash, and there's other drivers who take the same line. Exactly. Or the same.
Yeah, he lost the rear, didn't he?
It's margin. It's marginal. And you think these drivers go around there 60 laps a time or 63 laps or whatever.
Yeah.
And no one makes that mistake. Stroll was very unfortunate. But one thing that I would say is you see back in Spa, Stroll, when it comes to pushing, when he's under pressure, he makes these mistakes. Because do you remember last in Spa when they went out on softs, wasn't it? Do you remember Stroll went into the wall?
Yes.
He was pushing for...
Yeah, but that was a bit early, wasn't it? It was damp.
It was a bit early. But what I mean is, when it comes to it and actually having to push when you're under pressure, these mistakes do come out.
Yeah. No, and I mean, it was a nasty crash, and obviously it wrote him off for the race, which I found pretty bad.
Yeah.
Genuinely don't believe there's any other driver on the grid that would have not raced.
But do you see the post qualifying interview? Like, he was, how you feeling? Yeah, I'm feeling, I feel all right. Yeah, a bit achy, but I'll be fine. Yeah, no problem.
And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying like, oh my God, what a pussy. Like, he can't have been in that much pain. It's just, I genuinely believe.
That's exactly what you're saying.
No, every single other driver on the grid would have been like, I don't care, I'll race.
Yeah.
Like, I know I'm in pain. I want to race.
I'm wondering if it's an opportunity to save. Obviously, apparently it's £1.3 million worth of damage to that car.
I mean, that is unsurprising. That was an incredible crash.
I'm wondering if it's a team's decision to go, okay, let's save an engine here. Let's save some parts so we're not actually, you know, for later on in the season. Let's not, you know, you're starting last. It's hard to overtake.
But I don't know.
Well, same,
in which case you would have just... Surely the excuse would have been...
We can't get the car ready.
Yeah, we can't repair the car in time because...
It's like Saudi last year, wasn't it, with Mick Schumacher?
Yeah.
Was it last year or year before? 21 season? 21 season or... One or the other.
Yeah. I can't remember. It was one of those, so... I don't know. Does that again bring up the question of, is Stroll committed or is he sort of just...
Yeah, I was a bit surprised not to see him race, to be honest.
And that's, like I say, I do want to stress, I'm not saying like, oh, like how pathetic, like, you know, a little crash like that and that's it. It was a big crash and I can completely understand it, but I genuinely think unless there was an injury that physically prevented you from driving,
because
Stroll at the beginning of the season turned up to Bahrain with pretty much a broken wrist.
Yeah.
And has he lost that drive? Because it seems like that to me across the season. He sort of had the life taken out of him a little bit. The spring is out of his step.
Well, we discussed this last week, didn't we? He doesn't look the driver who's interested.
Yeah.
He's looking, you know, he's probably gutted. He just missed the US Open or something. Couldn't go and play that. But Let's go into Q2. Obviously, Tsunoda, Albon, Perez, Gasly and Verstappen went out. So both Red Bulls.
Lovely.
I was quite surprised with Albon going out, but the Williams, they did struggle a bit this weekend.
And we know that Williams are better in
straight line speed.
The straighter tracks.
Perez, again, I'm not massively surprised. I wasn't shocked by him. However...
No, I mean, even if the Red Bull was performing this weekend and he went out in Q2,
yeah,
it wouldn't surprise me.
It was interesting because it went to... Verstappen got through on his final lap into P8. Then he dropped down to P9 because then Hülkenberg, the knock-on went past. And I was thinking, okay. It then got to P10. And I was thinking to myself, who's on a fast lap here? I was like, I think it was Lawson and... Albon went through, didn't make it, and I was thinking, okay, Verstappen, he's going to get
you
through.
Just know, yeah,
I was like, this
yeah.
is going to be a jammy thing. He's just because he. What other race did he do when he only got?
It was recently.
Was it Spa?
Yeah, he got really lucky.
It was Spa, wasn't it? That he got through.
Yeah,
he wanted to do. And I was thinking to myself, he's just going to bloody do it again. And out of nowhere, Liam Lawson, never been into Q3, puts a flyer in, and knocks out in his sister team. Knocks out. Max Verstappen. It was like poetry in motion. It was beautiful.
Yep. That was lovely to see when I was watching the highlights back.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that was just... I mean, just looking at the results and seeing Max, P11. Oh. That was some great feeling.
And Bottas is probably sitting there going, well, all my whole time in Mercedes, I always got into Q3, so...
And did you see that? Red Bull... had 102 consecutive Q3 appearances. Valtteri Bottas at Mercedes, 103. You're not even as good as Bottas.
That's why he's still in the sport. So heading into Q3, Lawson P10, Hülkenberg P9, Ocon...
Holt's had a really good season, can we just say?
He has had a good season. Magnussen came out of nowhere with P6, so very impressive with him. Yeah. Hamilton... P5.
It was disappointing.
It was.
But he had looked pretty disappointing.
Throughout the...
He looked slower than George all weekend.
Yeah. And that's, I think that's the interesting bit. And I Hamilton alluded to the fact that actually his Saturdays is the thing that's letting him down. Which is ironic, really, because when you go back to Hungary, he got pole. So you would expect that his Saturdays were going to get better. We know Mercedes on a Sunday have better race pace than they do qualifying.
Yeah. And I do think that... Also, generally, race pace across the season, Lewis has been quicker than George. Yeah. And that has shown, I mean, that was perfectly shown at Singapore. Yeah. Lewis was quicker than George, undoubtedly.
Norris was P4, Leclerc P3, Russell P2, and Carlos Sainz.
Russell, lovely.
I was very happy for Russell.
Yeah, I was delighted.
I know we discussed last week about Carlos Sainz and Charles Leclerc. I stand by my point. Carlos Sainz is better than Charles Leclerc. Well, not better, but is going to be better. I think Charles Leclerc is slowly slipping off.
Oh, come on. He's 25.
Well, no, I don't mean slipping off from his grid, but I mean this season he's slipping off.
I think Carlos is definitely finding his rhythm. But, you know, we say that 2021, Sainz finished ahead of Leclerc. But yeah. Leclerc was a lot better last season. Can't deny that. I think...
Well, we say that. He still binned it in France. He still caused his own issues.
Yeah, but he was a lot better than Carlos Sainz last season.
Yeah, it's hard to really... Well, we say that. It's hard to really...
It's really...
say Ferrari did much last year because Carlos Sainz, Austria last year, his engine blew. He was lead. He was like second in the race. You know, Carlos Sainz, yes, okay, he caused his own issues.
Australia drove off the track.
Yeah, but we could say, you know, Charles Leclerc.
Charles Leclerc had issues.
He had issues, yeah.
But when they were both going, Leclerc was much quicker.
Yeah.
And when they were competing with Red Bull, Leclerc was the man competing with Max.
But now you're starting to see Carlos Sainz.
Now you're definitely seeing Sainz in a rhythm, and I like it, but I'm not sure I'd confidently say Sainz is better than Leclerc. I think actually what you're seeing is that Ferrari have two very competent drivers.
Yeah.
And I think Sainz has had a better season than Leclerc. But Ferrari have generally had a poor season. I think they're coming back really well. Mercedes are going to have to be looking over their shoulders because they can't afford to drop points like they did this weekend in the form of George Russell. I mean, Ferrari are going to... I mean, they're already ahead of McLaren, aren't they now, I think? And I meant Aston Martin, sorry.
Yeah.
But Aston Martin are going to have to start watching out for McLaren as well. So... yeah, Ferrari are in a really good position. They're doing something with their car that is working, and they've got two very competent drivers.
Yeah, I agree. Let's get to the race, shall we? So we know Singapore isn't renowned for overtakes. It's quite a tough track to overtake.
But normally a good race.
Normally a very good race. Obviously, we had some quite good overtaking this weekend. So as we know, Stroll didn't start. Tsunoda on lap one got hit by Perez. Initially, I was thinking to myself when he said, "I've got a puncture," I was like, "Well, just drive around to the why are you coming?" But I think there was a lot more damage to the car, which resulted in him having
that was
to retire.
Perez terrorism there. I mean, he had another one later on, which we'll discuss. But yeah, lap one was eventful. We obviously had Lewis overtaking Lando and then avoiding action, or he took avoiding action with George. Had to give the place back to George.
Understandably. I get that one.
100%. And then randomly gave...
to Lando.
Yeah, Lando was on the radio crying, very typical. I cannot for the life of me understand why he had to give that back to Lando. He was completely in control.
Because the pictures
he was completely ahead. And he went off the track to avoid basically colliding with George.
Yeah.
And he then gave the position back to George, which... that was fair. You can't stay in front of George for that. But no. He was already ahead of Lando. And he hadn't gone into the corner too fast, because if George wasn't there, Lewis would have made the corner perfectly.
Yeah. Because Lando was kind of like, oh, we need to give his place back. He was ahead. But actually, the pictures I've seen, he was well ahead of Lando.
He was... Lando braked so early.
Yeah.
So that was mental. That was what it was. Classic. Apparently, it was the FIA that told Mercedes, you know, just tell him to give the position back and there'll be no further action. There's no point even like thinking about talking about it now when it comes to Lewis, because no matter what he does, he'll get a penalty. Yeah. I mean, you look at Perez this weekend. He had the collision with Tsunoda.
Albon.
Yep, and Albon. The Albon one was insane. Albon was really like pissed off as well. I don't know if you heard his radio.
Yeah.
Which like you don't really hear Albon like get like that. Would he get a 5-second penalty at the end of the race?
Yeah.
So, but he didn't get anything for the Tsunoda one, by the way.
How? I don't understand.
Lewis got a 5-second penalty in Spa. Was it in the? It was in the sprint race, wasn't it?
Yeah.
When it was wet, and there was the tiniest bit of contact. I'm not even sure there was damage on either car.
No. He got a 5-second penalty in Monza.
No,
with Piastri as well.
Yeah, but that makes sense.
No, that's what I mean. But what's
but,
the...
But, I know, oh, I, no, I know. But I'm talking about Lewis getting one when he really didn't deserve it in Spa when he overtook Checo.
Yeah.
And there was like the tiniest bit of contact and Checo went wide.
Oh, of course. Yeah. No, I do remember that.
And then Checo just dives into the side pod of Tsunoda and they're just like, that's all right. Because that was not just a lap one incident. No. That was just, he just went into the side of him.
I think, yeah. So that happened. And then all of a sudden, we had this just great battle at the front. We had like four cars that were in a space of 4 seconds. And it just kept like that. Nobody was...
Five
cars. There was no one was actually going for the overtakes. They were just going on a DR. It was like a DRS train for a bit.
But
people managing their tires.
It was exciting because it was like, it was not just like, oh, they're all within like a second and a half. At times it was like, oh, hang on, there's like 4 tenths between them.
Yeah.
Like 4 tenths between those two drivers and 4 tenths. And you're like, something could happen. And it was the anticipation of like, actually like something might happen. It's not just the case of, oh, Max is running away with it or whoever, you know. I mean, if Carlos just ran away with the race, it would have been another boring race. It would have just been nice seeing someone else win it.
Yeah, I agree. So later in the race, we had safety car, which was caused by, what, who caused that safety car?
Was it not Sargent? It was the debris off the wing.
Sargent decided to bin it again. Caused the safety car for the debris. And there was so many double stacks. Paul Leclerc, once again, who was currently running in P2. They brought in Sainz. Leclerc comes in.
Gets held up.
Gets held up by Lando, then cuts him.
Well, George and Lando jumped him.
George and Lando jumped him.
And Lewis.
And Lewis did not.
Oh, no.
Lewis was behind.
Lewis didn't.
But Red Bulls obviously went for hards. It was too early because it was only lap 20 to go really on to mediums.
Yep.
They stayed out. And oh my God, I've never seen a Red Bull get eaten alive after the start of a safety car. Because
it was amazing to watch. Because it wasn't, you know, it was everyone just overtaking them. It was so nice to see. I think, as a fan of any other team, particularly Mercedes, Ferrari, you've deserved this moment.
Because I put in the chat, didn't I? I said, this is going to be typical Red Bull. They're currently P2 and P4. And you know what's going to happen. There'll be another red flag in five laps time. They will then get a safety car and they'll end up going on to win the race. Ultimately, that didn't happen, which was good for us. But
and I question whether they could have even... I just don't think they had the pace. Everyone was talking about Max gaining like 25 seconds or something on Leclerc. It was confirmed Leclerc had a PU issue. Mm. He overheating. He was driving slowly.
Yeah.
I don't think Red Bull had the pace this weekend. You know, we've discussed that. I don't understand why. But watching them get overtaken on those old hard tyres, particularly when Sir Lewis Hamilton overtook Max Verstappen.
It was beautiful.
Max didn't fight it. I'm not going to claim it as like the greatest overtake ever, but it was just lovely to see.
Beautiful to see. Alonso obviously couldn't keep himself inside track limits when he was going into the pit, got a 5 second penalty, and that basically just
Alonso's weekend went from bad to worse.
It was pretty poor. So at that point, after a safety car, you had Carlos Sainz, George was P2. Lando,
Leclerc,
Hamilton.
After they'd like performed the overtakes.
Everything. So you're thinking to yourself, okay, this is going to be interesting. George comes over with the most obvious radio message ever. I want to go for the win.
Yeah.
No shit. What were you expecting?
Why don't we go backwards? Let's go for seventh.
Yeah. It was a weird one, wasn't it? Because Carlos Sainz, I felt like he managed that race perfectly. He knew that
it was a masterclass.
If George was going to pick it up and get closer, Sainz had an answer for it. The whole race, he was in control. And it was great. It was really interesting to see how he was playing that game. We then get a virtual safety car. Ocon did a wonderful overtake. He had some great racing this weekend, Ocon. Really impressed. He overtook Alonso.
It did Alonso and Perez.
Perez, really nice racing. And unfortunately, had an engine issue, which ruled him out. Parked up on the road.
Just after the pits.
Again, I would question the FIA's.
They took a while to bring out that.
They took a while when Stroll crashed.
Yeah.
So like, if you look at it, it's a good like 30 seconds before they actually put out a red flag.
It is strange. And to be fair, they took ages with the safety car with Sargent.
Sargent, yeah. So I was expecting it to be a full safety car because I was like, well, there's a car on a track. They probably just bring out... But they brought out virtual, which is fine.
I'm glad they did that, by the way.
Yeah. The virtual, unfortunately, the front runners had already gone past the pits. So there was still enough time for them to get back round again. But this is where I was thinking to myself, I was kind of like, okay, well, Mercedes have missed their chance. Ferrari have missed their chance to pit. How is this going to play out?
See, I knew they had to come in, right? But I cannot for the life of me understand why they brought George and Lewis in.
Yeah.
That's the mystery to me. I can't understand why Ferrari didn't bring Leclerc in. That makes absolutely no sense.
Yeah.
But as soon as I saw George diving in the pits and then Lewis behind him. Lewis obviously got held up a little bit. I think Lewis was then what, like 4.5 seconds off George.
What, after but the
now,
pits, yeah.
Now you've got these two Mercedes, both on fresh tyres. lapping up, they were like 2 seconds a lap quicker, weren't they?
Yeah.
At this point. So they come out in P4, P5, right? Respectively, George and P4, Lewis P5. Make that make sense, right? Because now, best case scenario, obviously, is a 1-2. But they knew it was going to get incredibly difficult.
Yeah.
As the tyres were wearing off, as they closed the gap. Best case scenario, in my opinion, leave George out there because he's got P2 on lock, right? So the worst case for him is Lewis does actually, you know, he'd probably have to let Lewis go and then Lewis would take P1.
Yeah.
That just didn't happen. And then all, what you had was a case of Lewis was actually a lot quicker than George. I think you've got the laps, haven't you?
I've got them here. So just quickly before I read that, I agree with you in the sense of it didn't make sense to me because you've given up a P2 space here where it's very close between Sainz, George and Lando.
And you know that no one's overtaking anyone there.
No. You know, conserve your tyres for George because they're all doing the same. So you've got three cars there which no one's pitting. That what you see there is what you've got. You know, let George conserve his tyres a bit more.
You could have then let George back them up a little bit. Let Carlos pull away because that's fine. George slowed the rest down.
Yeah.
Lewis gets past them really quickly. And then he can go off and attack.
Yeah.
You know, we have to look at it from the perspective of Lewis is performing a lot better this season. You know, Lewis is the 7-time world champion. Lewis had the opportunity because there was no risk for him.
No.
He was in P5. He had a free pit stop. George didn't have a free pit stop.
You're giving up position there.
It was a real bizarre decision. I think it sort of highlights Mercedes' necessity to sort of actually, we need to have a number one driver.
Mm. They want to please everyone, don't they?
Yeah.
And ultimately what happened that cost them, because I do
it
think
cost them a guaranteed P2 either way, they could have either had second and third, because say even Lewis got through and he couldn't overtake Carlos, they were guaranteed then a double podium.
Yeah.
But no, they brought both. It was a weird decision. Don't get it.
So after they pitted, they both, as you know, came out in P4 and P5. Hamilton came out roughly four and a half seconds behind George after that pit stop. And George, George, to be fair to him, was eaten away at, you know.
Oh, they were both lightning.
They were quick. So
but Lewis was.
I've got the actual lap times here, and so they pitted on lap 45, and out of what is it, 15 laps, George was quicker on 3 of the occasions. Okay. So, for example, let's go to lap 47. Lewis was 5/10 quicker. Again, 5/10 quicker. 3/10, 5/10, 2/10, 8/10, 8/10, 6/10. He was quicker basically every time. We knew Lewis was the fastest
car. And you could see that because you could see him eating away at the time between him and George.
And this is an interesting because this tweet, and I sent it to you, to be able to do this against your teammate, and that's what he means, this person means, is have those type of things on the same tyre, age plus compound, is nothing short of exceptional. The performance gap Lewis Hamilton is able to put on Russell every week is no different to the one he put on Bottas, but Bottas was treated very differently by the team. And actually, that's quite a good point, because obviously you knew Bottas was the number two driver. I agree with you in the sense of their best bet for a win this weekend would have left George out, put Lewis out there. He'd have clean air.
Or even swap the positions.
But the issue is they're so hell-bent on trying to please both drivers that they're costing their own success.
And now they've got to watch out because Ferrari are going to come for them in the constructors. And, you know, P2 is well on for Merck here.
Yeah. Yeah,
it is going to cost them, and you know P2 is actually on for Lewis in the championship.
Yeah.
Now, that would be an incredible achievement.
Yeah.
To get P2 against one of those Red Bulls.
But you know, Lewis had the pace in there, and you could see it, the way he was just eating away at those lap times. Would he have got past Lando and Sainz because they were playing quite a nice game at the end? Who knows?
We'll never know.
But
he had the opportunity to do so.
Yeah. And I think Mercedes, if they want to get a win this year and they want to get back to success, they need to make bolder decisions. And actually, regardless of whatever you say, Lewis Hamilton has hand downed well above George Russell.
Yeah. In fairness, it's gone wrong for George ever since he did that lie detector test and said that he's quicker than Lewis.
Yeah, very true.
And, you know, this might sound like I actually really like George, and I know he's the future of the team.
Yeah.
And I want him to do really well, but you have to make decisions sometimes. And yeah, the decision needs to be, okay, Lewis could actually get P2 in the championship here. We need to make the decisions that do actually lead to the best results for the team and the individual. Like, because Lewis getting more points is helping the team. Like, Lewis could have got the first win for Mercedes this season, and if he was the man to end that Red Bull streak.
And his first win since 2021.
Yeah.
You know, it's... I feel like they're sabotaging themselves, really,
self-sabotage. They need to, you know, all the great teams have always had this.
Yeah.
Red Bull with Webber and Vettel, you know, everyone knew Seb. Even Mark Webber knew Seb was number one. Yeah. The things that he would say, like when you had the whole multi-21 situation. Yeah.
Multi-21, Seb, multi-21.
I loved that race. That was, where was that?
I can't remember.
I can literally picture it. And then when Seb's just like gulping the water. but Barrichello and Michael Schumacher, it's always Lewis Hamilton and Valtteri Bottas. And Hamilton and Rosberg is different because they were so much quicker at that time than anyone else on the grid, so it didn't matter as much. But yeah, what's the point? Mercedes are, you know, they don't need to let their drivers race each other so hard because they're not racing for the wins. What they are trying to race for is the most amount of points to get them up there. And it was clear this weekend that Lewis was the man that was able to do that, and they should have taken control and actually said something.
Yeah, and I think they're just trying to please both of them. And actually, that's not really benefiting the team, is it?
Yeah.
But anyway, regardless of that, it got to the last lap. And I don't know whether this... Again, I've seen tweets and people messaging saying this is the lack of experience coming into play or the pressure. Or, you know, some people have said that Lewis Hamilton was out of order for pushing George so hard.
How?
Well...
I mean, if you can't handle the pressure,
the whole point of it's a motor race, isn't it? You know you're going to have a car behind you.
Do you want people to race or not?
Yeah. My gut feeling is actually it was a relentless race. George, I thought, did very well. And I think he might have got a bit hot-headed under the helmet, which ultimately led him to clipping that wall.
He knew he was under pressure from Lewis.
Yeah.
And he knew that he couldn't get past Lando. And it got to his head. And he clipped the wall and fucked his race.
Yeah. And he was clearly very upset about it afterwards.
Do you know what? I put a message in the chat, didn't I? I find it strange that every time something like this happens with George, that he cries.
He loves it.
And that's nothing to do with like the display of emotion. But it's a bit like, are you a child? Like, that's kind of like, oh, I crashed, and he's like crying about it.
He's an emotional man. What can you say?
I think, you know, you cry when you win or something. Like when he cried when he got his first win, that I completely get that.
Yeah.
But to be fair, he's cried quite a lot. He cried when he got points for Williams, and I don't know.
Didn't he cry when he had that collision with Bottas as well?
I don't know. But I did find it strange. I was a bit like... Because all it shows to me is that he kind of can't control his emotions in these times.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's not me saying that he can't go off to his hotel room and cry. And it's nothing about like, oh, he's a man, he shouldn't cry. That's absolutely not the point. But it's like, this is part of the sport. Now, if something like that happens and you're going off and crying, to me, that does show like a mentality issue. You know, I completely understand the pressure and how that must feel. But like, you don't, I don't see that with any other driver.
No.
And yeah, I do want to stress this. It's not about like, oh, he can't have emotion, he can't show emotion. I just find it a bit strange. Like, you just don't see that anywhere else. And it's kind of like, is that what we then sometimes see in his driving where he is too emotional? You saw the collision with Bottas, like that you just mentioned in 2021,
yeah.
Imola. And he like was screaming about it and got out, slapped him on the helmet, his actual helmet, not.
Thanks for clarification.
You know, that's a different side of emotion. Where he was out of control. It was his fault, that crash.
Mm.
That was not Bottas' fault at all. And then, yeah, you know, he's under pressure in the car, puts it in the wall, cries. It's kind of like, man, you need to take control of this. Mm. Like, firstly, that thing going into the wall, it happens. It's part of racing. What can you do, cry about it?
Mm.
That, like...
I think it shows some of the difference from some drivers. And like you say, you know, when you hear his radio messages, they sound really... They're like desperate messages,
yeah,
aren't they?
Sometimes
he's so panicky. Yeah, like, oh, we need to do this, we need to do that. And actually, it's kind of like, okay, you know, and don't get me wrong, other drivers do it. Max gets really heated in that. But when you listen to some other drivers, they're a bit more in control.
Yeah.
You know, you listen to Carlos Sainz this weekend, where even prime example of they're not pointing out, it's part of the plan. Yeah, that was so cool, that listening to cut out. But
I'm not saying like he can't get on the radio and like show emotion.
No.
But it's just like, you know, I just question the mentality, I guess, of like, you've never seen, Max has had some, I mean, you can look at some of the fatal errors. Okay, maybe not even errors, but look at, no, actually, I want to look at Lewis, Abu Dhabi 2021.
Yeah.
If there was any place where a driver could have absolutely broken down, it would be there. And I think he showed the mentality of handling it like a champion. And I'm not saying he didn't go off and absolutely cry his eyes out.
Mm.
That's completely normal. Like, I want to stress the fact that they absolutely can have emotion. But something like this, where you've clipped the wall and binned it in the last lap. And
so
I don't know. I just find it a bit weird.
I think the more George is... he will mature and he will, well, not mature, he will just, the more he matures within the sport.
It's like crying when you lose. That's like something you do when you're a kid. Yeah.
And he may just be one of those people who is just, that is him. He's just a very emotional guy and that's what it is, which is absolutely fine. Like I have no, for me, I don't really have, I think, you know, it's a way of him, he put so much effort into that race and it was such a relentless race and to lose it on the last lap,
I would get it if there was a championship at risk.
Yeah,
I absolutely would.
But you've also got to remember he regardless of whether there's a championship at risk, his reputation, he's coming up against a 7-time world champion week in, week out. He needs to.
But I think that's part of the problem. I think again, from that lie detector test, why are you pitting yourself against Lewis Hamilton?
Like, pit yourself against like Sargeant. You'll be winning week laying like, down. On you.
Why instead of like. Why are you trying to prove yourself again? Look, Lewis is a once-in-a-generation driver, the same as
Max,
the same as Seb. It's why are you trying to pit yourself against them? Like, as a young man as well. Like, I mean, how old is George? 24.
Yeah.
Lewis had one championship at that age, which is unbelievable, by the way. But it wasn't until his later years when he then went on to win 6 more.
No.
So what's why I feel like George is trying to like live up to Lewis a bit too much and really trying to compete against him, when I think he should actually be using this time to learn everything off him. And then I think you see the amount of pressure that he's putting on himself, and he makes a mistake like this, and then he's really upset about it, and it's a bit like kind of your own doing here. And I think you also need to be able to firm your mistakes in racing. And I don't know, like, I don't want it to seem well harsh and I'd be like, well, he's not allowed to cry, because that's not my point. But it's a bit like, you made a mistake, you hit the wall,
you learn.
And like, are we going to cry about it? Like, I don't know.
I think that's just him as a person. That's how he shows his emotions. But I know we've been talking almost an hour and 15 minutes already, but we're
15?
Yeah. A long time. Let's just quickly finish off on Singapore. Lando, solid race, fantastic race for him.
Yeah, he did well to defend against George as well, because George came at him particularly on one of the laps. I can't remember when it was.
But obviously, Carlando, nice little teamwork towards the end. Nice little bromance out. I like it. Can I quickly ask, at the end of the race, why aren't the Mercedes...
Oh, I literally don't. And I don't know if this is Twitter rumours and stuff, but I've seen pictures and I actually can't see any of the mechanics there.
I've seen the Ferrari, I've seen the McLaren, but I can't seem... I don't know if this is a thing now.
I have no idea.
I also love the fact that the hatred Hamilton has for David Coulthard. You know, in that post-race interview, he literally had no interest in being there whatsoever.
But Lewis looked, even on the podium, he looked pretty dejected and...
Yeah.
I don't know, No, that was weird.
This isn't the first time we've heard that there's no mechanics there.
Well, he said it on... do you remember that video in Australia? Where he's like, where's my team?
Yeah. a bit of a bizarre one. But let us know, out of 10, how do you rate that race?
9.
I'm going to give it a 9.4. I enjoyed it.
9.4?
Yeah.
What would you give Saudi Arabia 2021?
Oh, that was a solid 9.9.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Yeah, that was a decent race.
No, this was a lot worse than that. I'm going to give this race an 8, actually.
I'm sticking with 9.4.
8's very good. I would say the best race this season has probably been like a 6, and that was probably Australia.
I'm going to give it a 9.4 simply because it was the first time in almost 2 years I've actually enjoyed a race.
Yeah, fair enough.
That's why I'm going to give it 9.4. Right, let us know what your thoughts are on the race. There was loads to talk about, but one thing we do know from it, Red Bull pretty much get away with anything. That was pretty evident this weekend. Let's talk about a Japanese Grand Prix, shall we? Do you want to know the timings?
Oh, they're awkward ones. I'm out on Saturday.
FP1 on Friday is 3:30 till 4:30 a.m.
Yeah, I'm not waking up for that.
No. FP2, 7 to 8 on Saturday.
I will obviously wake up for that.
Yeah. FP3 on Saturday is 3:30 till 4:30.
Not doing it.
No chance. Qualifying 7 to 8 on Saturday. I'll be up for that.
I'll wake up for that.
And the race is 6 a.m. on Sunday.
I'll be up for that. So basically, whether I wake up to watch it live is going to depend on qualifying. If Max gets P1 in quali or is really competitive in quali, I probably won't watch it. I will watch the race, but I mean, like, I'll just watch it back in full.
Yeah.
I won't wake up at 6 to watch it. If it's a similar situation to
Singapore
this weekend, then I will absolutely drag my drunk ass out of bed to watch that.
I'll be up watching anyway. First Grand Prix.
Ooh, Suzuka. The thing is, I must have done this last year and I don't know why I can't remember.
We have done these before.
I'm going to say 58.
1987.
Close.
Number of laps.
Oh, you know what? I actually don't know this. 58?
53. Lap record and held by who? I'll give you a clue. It's 2019.
Lewis Hamilton?
It was Lewis Hamilton.
And it was a... one 32.
It was a 130.9.
Oh, hey, that was pretty close.
Not bad, not bad, not bad. So top three for this weekend.
I'm going to have to say Max. Yep. I'm going to say Max, Charles and Lewis.
Yeah, I'm going to go Max, Sainz, Lewis.
Yeah. You know, that Ferrari, it has improved. And I'm actually happy for them. It's nice to see another team in the mix. You know, I think we've... God knows what's happened to Aston Martin, but
they're well off,
aren't it's you? Gone really wrong for them.
It's always hard when you only have one driver.
It is, but they've also lost the car.
Yeah.
Their
upgrades haven't worked as well as the other teams, have they?
They have not worked.
No one expected McLaren to be this strong.
I mean, the Aston Martin was clear second.
100 mile. Yeah.
First race of the season. And yeah, development has gone wrong. But yeah, it's really nice to see McLaren. I don't think this track will be amazing for McLaren in that I don't think they'll be competing.
I think they'll be competing for like P4, P5.
I just don't think they'll be competing for podiums this weekend.
No.
You know, I think they'll be like solid, yeah, P6, P5. So yeah, that's why I didn't put McLaren there. But yeah, I think, Red Bull should be back up there. If they're not, I mean... Praise the Lord. I'll be the happiest man alive.
Do you want to know how Red Bull can win the Constructors this weekend?
They can't. Because they're going to be shit.
So they can. So just to recap, Red Bull are currently on 597 points. Mercedes on 289 points in second and Ferrari on 265.
The comeback is on.
So for Red Bull to win the Constructors this weekend, they need to outscore Mercedes by 1 point or more. Okay, not hard, is it? And not be outscored by Ferrari by 24 points or more. So I would put...
Red Bull are going to win the Constructors
I'd put my mortgage on the fact that Red Bull are going to win the Constructors this weekend.
I wonder what the odds are for Red Bull to not win the Constructors this weekend.
No idea, but I...
I might stick a fiver on it.
Yeah, I'd be very, very shocked. Just to finish...
Max can also win...
I don't think he can.
Can he not? A £5 free bet when you bet £10 on virtual sports. Okay. Always used to bet on the virtual football.
Did you?
Yeah, it's really funny.
Should we finish quickly on fan questions?
Yeah, we actually... well, once a week, we're meant to do this every week before we film, where we put out a little thing saying...
And
send us a question.
I haven't done that. So Nathan Moore 24 says, is Max dropping 53 quali laps on Sunday to prove a point?
Probably. Probably, yeah. I mean, I am expecting an unbelievable weekend from Max, because he's going to want to prove, you know, that was just a blip. I'm still the best. This team is still the best. And I absolutely will not be surprised if we see it.
Yeah, I agree. Riley.mills said, do you think Russell should have let Hamilton pass and did he deserve to clip the wall? Well, no one deserves to clip the wall, but...
He certainly didn't deserve.
Yeah.
I mean, he deserved to pay the price for his error, if that makes sense. I wasn't like, he really deserves to crash here. And then, but, you know, he made an error and he paid the price. That's how it works.
Yeah.
I was gutted for him. He absolutely didn't deserve it. He had a brilliant weekend and it went wrong for him. And I think that a part of that is on the team for pitting him, whether it was his call or not. They should have said, mate, this doesn't work for you. We need to keep you out and we're going to pit Lewis.
But also on the team, they can see the lap times. They can see that Hamilton is lapping so much quicker than Russell. Make that call and go, okay, George, this isn't ideal, but for our best chance to get a win here, we need to let Lewis pass. If he can't get past Lando, then we'll swap cars back at the end. Give him the opportunity. The team can see that.
Yeah. No, 100%. I do think the team made a bit of an error this weekend.
Yeah, no, I agree. This next question. this final question.
Can I just, this is one funny thing.
Yeah.
Just while I'm looking about the betting thing.
Yep.
On the like picking the outright winner for the race this weekend, you have all the odds. So it has race winner and then all the odds.
Yep.
Next to it then has race winner without Verstappen. So you can bet on who's going to win the race if Verstappen wasn't there. how bad is that? That it's got to that point where it's like, actually, we're just going to erase him. that is bad. But quite funny, yeah. Carry on. What
right, this question, I'm actually interested to see what your response is going to be, right? Are you ready for this one? Ollie.Brenchley, I think is it? Time for a serious conversation about Norris being a better driver than Lewis Hamilton.
Oh, God. I mean, some people are so thick, it's actually... like... Lando Norris, right?
One thing I like about Luke, he really holds back what he wants to say.
Lando Norris is a great driver. Really good.
Yep.
He's not even won a race.
Yep.
And you think he's better than Lewis Hamilton. Fair play, each to your own. I know who I'd rather in my racing seat if I had a team.
Sergeant.
Yeah. I'd love paying bills. It's just... It is really quite incredible how short-term people's memories are. It was only 2 years ago that Lewis Hamilton provided us with one of the greatest championship battles we've ever witnessed, up against a young Max Verstappen, who we all agree is another generational talent. And
also, it's only a couple of years ago, when you're looking at the decision, people's decision making, granted team-wise, you go back to Russia, Lando was leading that race.
Lando absolutely was crying over the radio like a pussy, screaming at his team, saying, I'm not coming in.
And he still screams at his team now.
And then he fucked it, and he lost the race. That's what Lewis Hamilton behind you does. And look,
granted, it was a team who made that call, but Lewis listened to his team. And
well, they asked him. They asked Lando, do you want to come in for wets? And they advised him. And
yeah, but there's not remembering that race. Lewis was like, I don't think we need to do it, but I listened to you. And he listened to the team. That's the difference. That was the difference on that day.
Experience. So, yeah, I don't know. I genuinely don't know what serious conversation this is that you want to have. But there's no serious conversation you can have when, like...
One's a seven-time world champion. And even...
One is a seven-time world champion and one hasn't even won a race.
And let's clarify this. Lando Norris actually let slip on one of his streams calling Lewis Hamilton an eight-time world champion. So
I don't even think Lando Norris would sit there and try and argue that he's a better driver than Lewis Hamilton. Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. Lando Norris is a phenomenal driver. But granted, exactly what Luke said, this guy has not won a race yet in F1.
Even Danny Ric won a race
in a McLaren. So it's all right getting P2s and all of this stuff, but you need to be winning races. And ultimately, he's not winning races at the moment. It will come for sure. He will start winning races, I have no doubt.
If that man can just sort of explain his sort of... the sort of hypothesis behind the question. How's he come up with this? Like, what's his thinking?
I don't know. It's a question. I mean, we can post it back and you can ask him that question if you like.
Well, I want to see if he's all right.
Right. That is the end of the podcast. That's an hour and a half podcast.
Yeah, that's long. I need to shower.
Yeah, I need to go home and sleep. So, guys, I hope you enjoyed the podcast. Do get in touch with us on Instagram and Twitter. We'll be back next week reviewing the Japanese Grand Prix. I'm hoping it's a good one. I'm really hoping it's a good one. And just give it like another Singapore weekend. I'll be happy. Get me back into the routine.
You know what? Even get the Red Bulls in the mix.
Yeah.
But just make it so they don't run off.
Four or five cars, I'm happy. It was beautiful just seeing four or five cars this weekend, all at a good pace, all close together, all going for the win. It was lovely to see. And like we touched on before, I don't care whether that's Lewis Hamilton there, I don't care whether that's Carlos Sainz, a Ferrari, an Aston Martin, whatever, as long as we have drivers who are having close racing, going for a win. That's what I want to see. Not going for P2. Like, I don't watch racing for, oh, guess who finished P3 today? Lovely.
Yeah, so you don't watch a football match hoping for a draw, do you?
No. So yeah, hope you enjoyed this podcast. We'll be back next week. Luke, have a good week. Yeah, enjoy getting drunk this weekend.
Enjoy what?
Getting drunk this weekend.
Why do it every weekend?
Oh. Well, not every weekend.
Pretty much. What else is there to do?
Watch F1.
Yeah, or watch it drunk.
Well, it depends how the race goes, isn't it? But yeah, have a great week, and we shall see you next week for a brand new episode. Bye-bye.